All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Off the top of your head, Harmon, what do you think Casey DeSmith's stat line was the last time he faced the Nashville Predators? Do you already know the answer?
Yeah, they won 5-2, and he allowed, I think, 2 goals on 28 shots or something, 929 save percentage.
We didn't even do any prep, folks. Harmon just knew that. Harmon came prepared, because tonight the Vancouver Canucks will be looking to Casey DeSmith to lead them to victory over the Nashville Predators. All that and so much more on today's episode of Canuck Conversation, which, as always, is brought to you by the 2024 Toyota BZ4X. The BZ4X is Toyota's brand new all-electric SUV that is designed to go the distance for you and your family. The BZ4X is packed with Toyota's coolest tech, but it still has that trusty SUV feel you know and love. And even though it's electric, it's capable of effortlessly conquering any terrain, whether it's rain, snow, mud, or your friend's questionable post-game recaps. The BZ4X will get you through it all. Even Thatcher Demko going down after one game of the Stanley Cup playoffs, the BZ4X can get you through it all. Okay, Harm, where do you want to start? Let's break it down. We get the news today from Daily Faceoff's Frank Saravalli reporting it that Thatcher Demko is not going to play in tonight's game, game two in this series between the Canucks and the Predators, and that he's questionable for the rest of the series.
Okay, so first of all, before we even dissect the ramifications for the rest of the series, what this means for the Canucks, I just want to ask the hockey gods, why can't Canucks fans have nice things? Seriously, we're like riding on this high after game one. Playoff hockey is finally back in Vancouver. What an exhilarating come from behind victory. The atmosphere in the arena around the city is just building in such a positive direction. And then boom, just an absolute gut punch. Second of all, I never want to see a like hype rap song in like in anticipation of the playoffs. Like, never again. I swear that is a curse. So right away, those are the first two things that come to mind, is why can't Canucks fans have nice things? And second, please, for the future seasons when the Canucks make the playoffs, please no rap songs.
Honestly, and again, we're not going to do a whole thing on this, but the song would be so much more well-received if it came out after a cup win, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, all of these songs, they would be so well-received, but a song that had the lyric one time for Thatcher Demko, it was one time for Thatcher Demko.
It's bad vibes, I'm telling you. This is, like, one of the only vibes takes you're going to get from me. But seriously, like, it is really disappointing. It's so devastating. I really feel for Canucks fans. I mean, I've had all the group chats I've been in light up, friends texting me. Look, this doesn't mean, and as we dissect the series further, this doesn't mean the playoffs are over by any stretch or that the Canucks are screwed in the series. But there's zero doubt that Thatcher Demko is one of this team's most important players, and that having this uncertainty loom over the team is such an unfortunate situation to be in. I mean, outside of William Nylander, sure, you can throw Mikhail Sergachev into the mix, but I still don't think, when we look at all the playoff teams in the mix right now, Demko is probably one of the biggest injury absences of all playoff teams right now.
So you talked about the hockey gods, why the Canucks can't have nice things. This tweet from Rob Williams pointing out that the Canucks have had to deal with an injury to their starting goalie in each of the last four times that they appeared in the playoffs. Corey Schneider in 2013, Ryan Miller in 2015, Jacob Markstrom in 2020 during the bubble, which is what gave us bubble Demko, and Demko in 2024. Bubble to Smith? Are we going to, someone already said it? What are the odds on Casey DeSmith winning the Conn Smythe? Find out later in our Bet 365 bet of the day. It's been a tough run for Canucks goaltenders, and it is a gut punch. It is a blow to this team. Are the Canucks a worse team with Casey DeSmith and Thatcher Demko? Yeah, probably. Probably absolutely, actually. But let's put this into perspective. Because, okay, obviously we talked about DeSmith's stats. Different Nashville team, sure, say what you want. But Casey DeSmith started for this team in a pretty big game 10 days ago. And Rick Tocchet pointed this out today, that when they clinched the division against Edmonton, that was a massive game. Like, that was like a playoff game. It was so tight, almost like a playoff game. That's what we were saying at the time. Everyone was saying it. DeSmith won them that game. Like, DeSmith was in net for that game, and they won that game. Yes, the Oilers didn't have Connor McDavid. I understand that. I'm just saying that we're looking, like, let's put this in perspective. We're looking at a scenario now where the Canucks need to win three games and they can't lose four. Like, let's put that into perspective here. Can they do that with Casey DeSmith in net? Yeah, I'm going to say yes, they can. I don't think this is now it's Nashville's for sure going to win this series. Am I saying Canucks in three? Probably not. Am I saying Canucks in four? Also probably not. But like 5-6 games, is that crazy of a take to still be throwing out there? I don't think so. Like, I don't think Casey DeSmith is going to be that much of a drop off from Thatcher Demko. And look, I know I'm going to come across and people are going to be upset that I'm even saying it, but it is a blow to the team. It is absolutely a blow to the team. But this idea that the playoff run is over and, oh my gosh, Casey Smith's coming in. Let's put in perspective what the report even was, Harm. Demko's out for one game. He's questionable for the rest of the series. The worst case scenario right now with what we know is that Demko doesn't play the rest of the series. Can they get through Nashville with just Casey Smith?
Are you sure that's the worst case scenario, man? Because
with what we know,
like
with
the other reports that have come out, like there doesn't seem to be a lot of, like, I don't know if you saw Darren Dreger's recent segment on TSN, but it didn't sound like it's great news on Demko's front. Like, I'm sure if he finds a way to get healthy and come back later in the series, fantastic. But I'd park the brakes on this idea of if he misses a series, that's the worst case scenario. Like, we don't know fully what's going on yet.
That's fair. That's very fair. That's very fair. I'm just saying with the reporting that's happening with the questionable for the rest of the series, I don't know. We'll see. And you're right. The worst case scenario is obviously that he's out for the rest of the playoffs, obviously. And then he needs surgery and all that. But I'm looking at it and just saying that this series against Nashville isn't some insurmountable task because they don't have Thatcher Demko. Like, again, you always knock on wood for injuries, but I don't know. I don't think it's going to be that pronounced of a drop-off. And again, I know this is going to get clipped. I know this is going to get brought back if Casey Smith plays poorly tonight, but he's been good. Like, he's been good. He had that little rough stretch, but he's been good for them all season long. He was good for them 10 days ago in an important game against the Edmonton Oilers. I don't think it's, I don't buy the idea that, oh, this is over. Well, pack your bags. This is over. It's not over. It's not over. And I really still think we're going to see the Canucks come out on top on this series.
I agree with your overall sentiment, but this is how I'm looking at it. on paper now, I think Nashville has the edge in goal. The blue lines are pretty similar, and up front, Vancouver has the superior forward group. So on paper, these teams without Demko are very, very close now. This is where, of course, because the Canucks had a come-from-behind game one victory, that's so crucial, so massive, because imagine if it was the reverse, right? If they're down 1-0, and now you don't have Thatcher Demko, that's an extra level of pressure. 500 hockey wins you the series. I think the Canucks can do that, right? Because you have up to six cracks at getting three wins. I think that's absolutely doable. But to me, I think there is a greater question mark around what version of DeSmith are you going to get? Because sure, you can point to the start 10 days ago against Edmonton, and that's terrific. Hopefully that's a confidence booster for him. But since the All-Star break, he's 1-5-1 against playoff teams. Whereas before the All-Star break, he was 4-0-1 against playoff teams. So are you getting the first half version of DeSmith? Are you getting the second half version of DeSmith? I think that's a legit sort of question mark. And one thing I will say in terms of his overall numbers, because I agree with the overall take that he has been fairly solid this year, is 896 save percentage on the surface doesn't inspire a lot of confidence. But what's fascinating is when you look at his workload, the quality of the chances and shots he's faced this season, he's actually in slightly positive territory by goals saved above expected. So that would tell you that in DeSmith's starts over the regular season, the Canucks didn't sort of defend as exceptionally as they did in front of Thatcher Demko, for example. And so that's probably deflating his raw save percentage. And so, yeah, look, he's been a solid backup if we look at the overall sample. But there is still a question to me of, are we getting first half version of DeSmith or the second half version of him?
Okay, let's get to Jeff Patterson, who joins us. And he is brought to you by Greta, the home of our electric watch parties. Make Greta your spot pregame, postgame, and of course during the game, whether the Canucks are at home or on the road. Just a 10-minute walk from Rogers Arena. Eat, drink, and play at Greta Bar YVR. Let's get him in. Jeff Patterson, who is at Morning Skate today. It's good. It's an interesting Morning Skate. Jeff wrote scenes for Morning Skate for Canucks Army, and it was very interesting to read it all because he kind of took us through the start and finish. But for those on the podcast and the YouTube show, Jeff, take us through the events at Rogers Arena today.
Yeah, I think to do that, guys, you have to back it up a couple of days. The fact that Thatcher Demko wasn't available to the media after game one of this series, and that certainly raised some eyebrows. He was requested. It was the starting goaltender, the winning goaltender. Everybody wanted his reaction. He wasn't made available because he was in treatment. Fair enough. He's coming off an injury that kept him out for 6 weeks. But when it was requested on Monday after an optional skate, and again, he wasn't on the ice, at least among the group that was on the ice for the optional. We heard from Rick Tocchet that, yes, he did skate, clearly was trying to test something. Again, he was asked for and wasn't granted the media access. And so right then and there, you thought, okay, at the very least, that's strange. But it's not red flag territory. But I can tell you, when I walked into Rogers Arena this morning and there were two goaltenders on the ice, and they were Casey DeSmith and Archer Silovs, and Ian Clark, who is religious in his starter's routine and sets up a whole bunch of pucks in the high slot and just works from there. And it was Casey DeSmith that was on the receiving end of those shots. Right then and there, you thought, hang on a sec, something is way off here. And the gate at the bench was still open, and that's always a tell, because Morning Skate schedules were 10:30, so it was 10:15, 10:20, gets to be 10:25, players are trickling out, pretty well attended, optional. And then at 10:30, when the gate closed, bingo, no Thatcher Demko, we've got problems, we've got a story on our hands. And so PR staff led us into the Canucks locker room, talked to the players. At that point, there had been no confirmation. We hadn't had an opportunity to talk to Rick Tocchet yet. And so all the players are put in that position where I'm sure they know, but they're not going to be the ones that confirm for the media. So everybody talks, you know, in generalities, hypotheticals, say if he can't go, you know, we've got confidence in Casey DeSmith. That seemed to be the standard answer. And then at that point, as we were leaving the Canucks locker room to head back to the podium room, the press conference room, that's when Frank's tweet went out, and boom, at that point, I think, you know, that was the confirmation. And so moments later, Rick Tocchet stepped to the podium, answered the questions, and confirmed. And look, absolutely a huge blow to to the hockey club, but also to this marketplace. You guys talked about it. I mean, the good vibes coming out of Sunday night, and now all of a sudden there's this black cloud that's hanging over Rogers Arena. Can the Canucks still beat the Predators? Of course they can. Can Casey DeSmith get the job done? No doubt. Point to the game that you just mentioned in Edmonton the other night. But you know what? A week before that, he lost the opportunity to Artur Silovs because they didn't have confidence. So, you know, we're 10 days removed from a pretty solid backup performance, or performance from the backup as the starter, but wind it back 2 weeks and he lost his net briefly to the third stringer in this organization. So who knows what to expect from Casey DeSmith. I do think that it just heightens the awareness of the group in front to continue to tighten up lockdown. You know, what were the keys to getting the win in Edmonton? They got him a first period lead. They built on it. Yeah, McDavid didn't play. And yes, he was tested early on an Edmonton power play and did his part as well. But, you know, that would go miles to helping Casey DeSmith ease his way into the series if the team could get a lead for him and continue to build on it. I think the first 5 minutes are going to be fascinating. If you're the Preds, you throw everything you've got at Casey DeSmith. You make him make a bunch of saves here. And if he does, you know, then you know that he's up to the challenge, at least in the short term here. If it doesn't go his way, all of that energy that we all saw and witnessed and felt on Sunday night, that's going to turn to angst in a real hurry at Rogers Arena. And we felt that nervous energy in the building before. So, you know, if you got tickets, get there for puck drop, because I think those first 5 minutes are going to be absolutely fascinating to sort of see how this story unfolds.
Are there any tells that you look that you're going to be looking for watching DeSmith play in terms of little details that you're able to see when he's playing well versus when he's not playing well? I'm curious what you're looking to see from DeSmith in the first period to see whether he's on or not.
I think for me, it's rebound control, and I'm certainly no goaltender expert, but we have seen both sides of that coin with Casey DeSmith this year. The game in Edmonton seemed to be swallowing everything up. There wasn't a lot of loose change lying around, but I go back to some of those games against Western Conference opponents, the Los Angeles game, Dallas at home. You know, there were pucks that were there in the blue paint. He would make the initial save, but play would continue. I think it shows when a goaltender is on and he's dialed and he's into it, that he's making those saves and not leaving second chance opportunities. So again, I expect that the guys in front of him, there's going to be a heightened awareness. They recognize the situation here. I still think the Canucks have plenty to get past the Nashville Predators with Casey DeSmith in goal, but there are reports out now that, you know, it's not looking great for Demko. The team's not going to confirm that, but, you know, the last one, he left under his own power against Winnipeg and we didn't see him again for 6 weeks. So, you know, the fact that he finished on Sunday night, I don't think you can read an awful lot into that in terms of the severity or the nature of this injury. And look, guys, like, we have seen Thatcher Demko, an all-star this year, going to get a ton of Vezina votes. When he's on, he is clearly one of the best goaltenders in the National Hockey League, but undeniably,
oh, I think we lost Jeff. We lost Jeff there. But Hartman, what he was saying there, it's undeniable. Like, I keep coming back to this idea that Casey DeSmith is not going to be as big of a drop-off as, and again, Jeff wasn't saying this, but the comments right now are just people declaring this series is over. People saying, here, there was one here that I really wanted to read. Yeah, okay, this one from Captain Canuck. And this is the point I was trying to make earlier. This is from Captain Canuck. Demko is done for the year, and so are we. No way he misses the whole first round without it being serious. That was my point, was that we don't know that Thatcher Demko's out for the entire first round. We don't know that just yet. We just simply don't.
I'm not holding my breath. That's all I'm going to say. Like, especially because even if he does come back, then there's still going to be the question mark of, are you rushing him back? How is he going to pick up right where he left off? Because it's not always easy to mid-series go from you're missing a bunch of games to now you're thrust back into action. And of course, Demko's done it before. We know that he's typically been able to look sharp after coming back from injury, but there's always still that level of uncertainty. So it's definitely a blow for this series.
Well, in the chat,
guys, if I'm back,
good.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're back. Yeah, you're back.
I think the other thing too is now that if he does get the green light at some point, like, how much trust do you really have that he's going to be able to stay healthy? And this is a guy who, you know, his season ended 2 years ago with injury. Last year suffered an injury that kept him out 3 months. This time now, it's been 6 weeks. He gets back for three, and now he's out again. And if he does heal quickly, and we know how hard he worked. I mean, he talked about two-a-days getting in there. He thanked the medical staff for putting in the hours that he was willing to put in to get him back and ready for that Calgary game not that long ago. But I don't know about you, but if I see him in a Canuck uniform again in these playoffs, in the back of my mind at the very least, I'm going to be thinking, for how long? And I was saying before I lost my microphone there that, you know, just undeniably, this is part of the Thatcher Demko story now. And you think about the movements that it requires to play the position at the highest level. It's surprising that more guys' bodies don't break down. But injuries are part of the Thatcher Demko story. It's just that's the way it goes now. And it's unfortunate for him because, again, I love watching him play when he's at the highest heights of his game. He is as good as anybody in the National Hockey League. But, man, you hope that his body isn't betraying him here to the point that it's going to be a struggle for him to stay at that level for, you know, a prolonged period of time just because injuries continue to creep in and plague him and his ability to perform.
Jeff, the chat is saying I'm in the denial phase and that I'm trying to cope right now. So let's move away from Thatcher Demko and Casey DeSmith. This is the first chance we've had to talk to you since the Canucks game one victory. What did you like about that performance, and what adjustments do you think Nashville is going to be trying to make in game two?
Yeah, I think Nashville can feel pretty good about the way they played for 45 or 50 minutes, 2-1 lead into the third period. Obviously, there was a span there when Lindholm scored in the second. I thought the Canucks were going to take the game over. They had a bunch of chances, didn't convert. And then the Canucks ran into some penalty problems. But from a Canucks perspective, look, in the National Hockey League, when you trail going into the third period, the numbers are not in your favor. And so for the Canucks to overcome a third period deficit, and the first goal matters an awful lot. The Predators had an incredible record this year when they score first, just like the Canucks. And so, you know, the Canucks were patient, didn't give up. The fans were behind them, obviously. And to spin the game the way they did in a 12-second span there was incredible. The work of Dakota Joshua and his line mates was terrific and really looking forward. I mean, Joshua looks like a guy that is built for playoff hockey. And based on his opening night performance, just serve up more, want to see more. So need more from the top end guys. Like JT and his line carried play, but you know, you didn't want that to be at the end of the night that, okay, the underlying numbers are good, but what does it mean? You need to see some sort of tangible takeaway. And obviously this market continues to watch and wait for Elias Pettersson to do something. And just hasn't done an awful lot of that for too long now. Didn't seem interested in talking about his personal struggles when he met the media earlier today. He knows that he's got to be better. He knows what he means to this hockey club. And the depth of the Canucks, certainly down the middle, should impact this series regardless of who's in goal. So there was a lot to like in the Canucks' effort. Obviously, the atmosphere and the environment was incredible. They did feed off that. It'll be that way. But now I think both teams have a baseline for some of the guys to talk about getting emotional and, you know, being surprised at how loud. Like, now they know, and I think the focus is more on the game at hand. But if you're the Predators, I think you have to be pretty...
We lost Jeff again. That's not good. Someone in the chat said that Jeff caught the Demko injury as well. His mic caught the Demko injury, and then it's not letting him talk to us. It's weird. It's weird why this is happening, Jeff.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, but
we've got you back.
I'll call the microphone repairman when I'm done here. Make sure that everything's working the way that it has to.
So adjustments for the Predators, obviously, is something we're going to be keeping an eye on tonight. Harm?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about special teams. What's your confidence level after watching, you know, PK? They allow an early one, but recover nicely through the final two kills in the second period and then a key one in the third period. And then what did you think of the power play? Only two opportunities, of course, but what did you make of Vancouver special teams, and what's your confidence level heading into game two?
Yeah, I didn't like the first power play. Lafferty draws the systems penalty early. What an opportunity for the Canucks to sort of make a statement, you know, in the first 10 minutes of the hockey game, and they frittered away one shot on goal. I thought the second power play moved Buck better, but still not many shots and ultimately nothing to show for it. On the penalty kill, and I think this kind of flew under the radar a little bit with all the other storylines, Teddy Bluger took the first penalty of the night for the Vancouver Canucks. He's such a huge part of their penalty kill. He's in the box. All of a sudden, it's Pia Suter and Phil DiGiuseppe that are out there as the penalty-killing forwards when they get scored on. Elias Lindholm logged a ton of penalty-killing minutes. And once the Canucks gave up that first one, you know, they went away from DiGiuseppe. He didn't play an awful lot in that hockey game. And so you know, when Lindholm's out there, you feel a lot more confident about the penalty kill, face-offs, and just all the, you know, the reads and the reaction from Lindholm, the way that he goes, and they had Bluger available to them. So yeah, the penalty kill got better, and Tocchet pointed to that, that, you know, yes, they gave up one on their first penalty kill of the night, but the three subsequent ones that they killed when the Predators had a 2-1 lead and chance to extend that lead, penalty kill actually, even though it, you know, 1-for-4 and you say 75%, that's not where it needs to be. But sometimes it's situational. And I thought, okay, yeah, they got torched on the first one, but it actually looked really solid and gave this team a lift as it went forward here. So I think I've got some confidence in the penalty kill to continue to deliver, depending on who's in the penalty box. But that power play, it just feast or famine. You know, we've seen it. We saw it late in the season where it started to convert and look good again. And then it went right back sort of into the gutter on night number one. So we'll see where it goes from there. They know they've got to be better. Connor Garland found himself in the bumper an awful lot the other night. Everybody, the Predators know that he's not a shooting threat there. So I'm still not convinced that he is the answer with the other four guys, but certainly doesn't appear that they're going to make any changes at this juncture of this series. Maybe as the series unfolds, maybe they throw some different looks in there, but they probably come back with that five-man set, and we'll see if they can be better in game two than they were in game number one.
Jeff, great stuff as always. We'll talk to you after the game on Rinkwide Vancouver. I'll be in the live chat. You know I'll be in the live chat on Rinkwide Vancouver. Who's co-hosting with you tonight?
I got Irf Gafar once again. So, yeah, looking forward to it. We had a ton of fun on Sunday. Got, you know, right on after the game. And obviously people were riding high. And we'll see what game number two serves up. But obviously no shortage of storylines regardless of the outcome at the rink. So we'll be breaking it all down. We'll be there post-game. And hopefully viewers and listeners will be as well.
Jeff, good stuff. Thanks so much for joining us.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
There he is, Jeff Patterson, who, as I mentioned a couple times there, you can find after the game live on the Rinkwide Vancouver YouTube channel, Canucks Army, the Rinkwide Twitter as well, Canucks Army Instagram is what I should say. The live show of Rinkwide Vancouver, the only post-game show that you need to be watching after the game. Okay, Harm, let's get to a little bit more about this game. Like, I think we only kind of touched on the goalie stuff before Jeff got here, so let's talk about it more, and then we'll get to anyone else. But before we get to more about the game, let's tell you about our next sponsor and our Light the Lamp contest, which is brought to you by our friends over at Four Winds Brewing. Vancouver is playing Nashville tonight, and we want to know who's going to score the first goal for Vancouver. If you nail it, you could win a $25 gift card to the Four Winds Tap Room located at 72nd and River Road in Delta. Enter by following us on social media. Keep an eye out for today's show clip and comment who you think will light the lamp and score the first goal tonight. Winners will be contacted directly. Check us out at Canucks Army or at Canucks Combo on Twitter, CanucksArmy.com on Instagram, and Canucks Army on Facebook. And make sure you ask about Four Winds Light Lager at your local liquor store or have some delivered to your front door through the online shop at fourwindsbrewing.ca. Okay, Harm, I am going with Elias Pettersson.
I like it. I'll go with JT Miller. He was buzzing in game one, even though he didn't land on the score sheet. And I have some confidence that he can come through.
I like it. I like it. Good pick. Okay. Let's get to it. Let's get to the rest of this game that we wanted to talk about here. We were originally going to talk about the games around the league and the series around the league. I don't think we have time for that. I think we can push that till Thursday's show. I think we can check in on all the series. Not doing that today. Harm, what's the biggest adjustment that Nashville is going to be making tonight? That's the question it seems like everybody's asking. We've had a few people ask it in the YouTube live chat. We got Jeff's take. What's your take?
Well, one adjustment I wonder, well, there are a few. One of them is matchups-wise. Andrew Brunette felt very comfortable having his fourth line out against the JT Miller line, which is really uncommon when you look at other playoff teams, especially because of how dominant Miller and Besser have been on that line. And it didn't necessarily cost them on the scoreboard, but they got that fourth line got caved in a ton. And it felt like it was a totally different game when that Miller line was on the ice with Quinn Hughes versus the other lines. So I'm curious to see, is Brunette going to make more of a deliberate effort to get away from that matchup? Is he going to try and change things up against JT Miller, or even from the perspective of his own top line, is he going to make an effort to get away from the O'Reilly lines matchup against the Lindholm lines matchup, which of course, as I alluded to on yesterday's show, with Philip Forsberg on the ice head to head against Elias Lindholm, the Predators only generated one shot on goal at 5-on-5. The challenge with that, of course, is you can say, oh, we want to try and get away from that matchup. The problem is you also have the Pedersen line. You also have the Miller line, right? So the Canucks are deep in that sense. There isn't like a soft spot of their own lineup to feast on. So I guess one of the biggest adjustments that I'm just watching for is in terms of matchups, is Brunette going to change anything up? Because again, it was so surprising looking at JT Miller's minutes and to see that his most frequent forward opponent on Nashville side was Michael McCarron, right? That's just not something that we expected heading into the series. The other thing that I'm going to be watching for is it felt like from the second period onward that once Vancouver's forecheck started to become better connected, when you had the defenseman pinching up the boards, that Nashville all of a sudden had some trouble breaking the puck out. And from that second period onward at 5-on-5, I thought that Nashville wasn't really in the same class as Vancouver. Again, if it wasn't for the penalty troubles that they ran into in the last 10 minutes, I really think the Canucks would have taken that game over in that second period, that they would have tied it up. And again, that's one thing that I'm going to be watching for, because again, once Vancouver's forecheck got established, I don't think Nashville could meet them at 5-on-5. And I think it nullified their ability to generate speed through the neutral zone to create rush scoring opportunities. So that's something that I'm going to be watching for as well.
Okay, something that we're also going to be watching for is I pointed out that Philip Forsberg looked pretty scared last game. Looked like he wasn't really wanting to get into the hard parts of the ice, didn't want to take much body contact. Someone else pointed it out as well. He was, if I read it correctly, he was the only Predator not at morning skate today. So, and I think he's a game time decision for tonight or something like that. Like, it sure seems like he's playing through something if he plays, that is.
Absolutely. And you could tell in game one, this is a player who down the stretch had something ridiculous, like 21 goals in 28 games or something like that. The top line for Nashville has been electric down the stretch in the second half. And at 5-on-5, they didn't really look potent. And again, this is where for Nashville, when you look at their second line, their third line, their fourth line, they're not going to have success in the series if their top players aren't rolling. I mean, even Roman Josi, he looked dangerous at times. He had a shot off the crossbar in the second period, but it didn't look like he was taking the game over, right? And so if you're Andrew Brunette, part of the adjustment isn't even X's and O's. Part of it is just you need your top guys to elevate, because Vancouver's top guys, I thought, especially when you look at Miller, Hughes, not so much Pedersen, I thought Vancouver's top guys were better than Nashville top guys.
Okay, let's get to anyone else, because there's some really interesting stuff that I want to get to. It kind of, you know, we'll keep talking about the game.
Okay.
Okay. We'll get to anyone else brought to you by the Vancouver Canadiens. The Seas are back at the Nat. Catch fireworks, giveaways, Friday nooners, and superstar appearances all spring and summer long. Get your tickets at CanadiansBaseball.com. The Seas are giving away a record of 33 giveaways this season. This includes 6 koozies giveaways for the first 6 Saturdays of the season from all their beer partners, and a giveaway every Sunday for Family Fun Sunday for kids 12 and under. The Seas open up a new homestand on Tuesday, April 23rd. Hey, that's today. Don't miss the Nooner at the Nat on Friday the 26th or Family Fun Sunday on the 28th. For tickets, call 604-872-5232 or go to CanadiansBaseball.com. Okay, Harm, you clearly had something else that you wanted to say, so we will open anyone else by taking what you have to say.
Yeah, so I really wanted to emphasize how important it is for the power play to capitalize. The Canucks and the Rangers, interestingly, were the only two teams to win Game 1 despite not scoring on the power play. And in Game 1, the Canucks had 3 5-5 goals. They only did that twice out of 19 games against playoff opponents since the All-Star break. So getting 3 5-5 goals hasn't happened very often for this team in the second half. They got that in Game 1. You can't bank on that happening throughout the entire series. So the power play is going to need to come through at some point. Of course, they only had 2 opportunities, but that's something that I'm definitely looking for. And then I'm also curious to see what type of middle ground the Canucks can strike between, you want to apply heavy up ice pressure, but you don't want to overcommit and get caught. And I'm talking from a defensive standpoint, because you don't want to make the mistake of babying DeSmith. You don't want him to feel like he's an e-bug and that the Canucks are all of a sudden sitting back, because then you're going to give Nashville easy exits. They're going to have an opportunity to build speed. They're going to get offensive zone time, and you're going to get away from too many of the staples that allow the Canucks to have success on the forecheck and creating a lot of zone time. But again, it's that delicate line between applying heavy up ice pressure but not overcommitting and getting caught. And I'll give you a couple of examples of key situations that are going to dictate how successful the Canucks are defensively in this game in front of DeSmith. First is when the defensemen step up, right? And this applies to offensive zone pinches. This applies to the neutral zone, because Nashville likes to stretch the ice. They always have a forward hanging out by the offensive blue line. If you step up, you have to make the defensive stop there, because if you get beat, Nashville's going to have numbers going back the other way. And you want to talk about the Anthony Beauvillier 2-on-1 scoring chance in the first few minutes of the game, where Demko was stretching out, doing the splits, absolutely robbed him on that save. That started with Myers stepping up to play a tight gap in the neutral zone and then getting beat, right? And so those are two things that I'm watching for. Is you're going to want to play a tight gap, because the alternative, you might say, oh, well, you don't want to get beat, let's sag back, then you're just going to allow too many easy zone entries, right? So that's one thing I'm looking for. And then same thing applies for the forwards, right? You want to make sure that you're giving Nashville trouble on their defensive zone retrievals, but you got to make sure that your forwards aren't overcommitting, that they're not diving in, because they need to reload and apply back pressure as well.
Okay, I have a couple things that I want to get to, Harm. And the first one, I want to tread delicately, but I think I should share it with everybody because it's just a thought that I had. I've written about it before. You remember when Colin Delia farted really loudly on the broadcast? It sounded like there was a loud fart. Do you remember that?
Okay. Yes, I do.
You do? Okay. So basically, when I did that story, because I started as a joke, like I went up to Delia and was like, what happened? Like, did you fart? And we had a really, really funny story about it. When I wrote about that story, I learned all about the goaltender skates. So basically, there's 2-piece skates and there's 1-piece skates. In that season, Spencer Martin and who's the other goalie? It was Delia. Oh, Seelovs, excuse me. Spencer Martin and Archer Seelovs both wear, still do, 2-piece skates. So basically what that is you've got the holder and you've got the boot, right? And it's like the blade holder is like drilled into the boot. That's how the 2-piece skate works. Then there's this 1-piece skate that's all, I think, like carbon fiber, and it's form-fitting. It's 1-piece. The blade goes directly into the mold of the skate. They're very expensive. but they're very, very form fitting and they're true skates. Yeah. Grady helped me out there. Yeah. True. Is the brand that makes them the one piece skate. They're all the rave. Colin Delia wears them. That's why the fart happened. And then Demko as well wears them. The thing that I've wondered, and I'm not reporting this. No goalie has told me this. The thing that I'm wondering, Harm, is what I know about these skates is that they're very form fitting. The toes are not curled up, but they are very, very flush to that skate. So the thing that I'm starting to wonder, Harm, is, and again, this isn't just about Thatcher Demko. The thing that I'm just wondering is, could wearing a skate that is very tight on your foot, and when you're moving explosively, like these goaltenders in the NHL do, could it potentially have some more wear and tear on your knees, on your body? I don't know. Like, again, I'm not coming out and saying this is unequivocally what this is. I'm just wondering of like, okay, what does it feel like when you wear tight shoes, Harm? Like when we wear tight shoes in our everyday life and then you go running, you're feeling the effects of that, right? That's where this is coming from. And again, not reporting anything, not trying to say, oh, I know the answer. It's just something that I thought back to was my conversation with goaltenders about these skates in the past, about how they fit. Just something that I'm starting to wonder with Thatcher Demko. And I just wanted to say it. I just wanted to kind of flesh out that thought. Again, I'm not trying to say, oh, this is the root of the injuries. These skates are causing injuries. That's absolutely not what I'm trying to say. I'm just wondering if there's any sort of correlation between skates fitting very tightly and injuries. We don't know. I don't know. It's just something I've started to wonder about. And people are saying I'm going off the deep end in the chat, but it's just, you get what I'm saying, right? Like, I feel like it's a legitimate thing to wonder about.
It's interesting. I'll be honest. I do not know enough about goalie skates to have a real take on that theory. I'd be curious what Kevin Woodley has to say. I'd be curious to sort of ask other NHL goaltenders about it. But me personally, I don't have a take on that theory. I'm just not well equipped enough with the medical knowledge and the knowledge on goalie skates to know the potential relationship there.
This is amazing. Couple things in the chat here. Sterling Wilson, quads went from the denial stage to the conspiracy stage. He's crashing fast. Gnar, could Gary Bettman have attacked Thatcher's knee with dark magic? Okay. Corey Shuchuk, I saw a ghost kick him in the shin. Okay. Everybody just relax. Okay. It's a legitimate. I showed you my work. I've talked to goalies about these skates. Lay off. Okay. Lay off. Okay. This one, Harm, I'll ask you this one from Karen Versation. Does losing Demko add to the case in favor of running 11 forwards, 7 defensemen, making sure you keep your defense fresh and ensuring you have 4 strong penalty killers, regardless of who takes a penalty?
Potentially. I don't think that you need it yet, especially because in game one, the ice times were pretty well balanced. It's not as if you're looking at somebody on the blue line going, that guy played too many minutes and you want to spread the load more evenly. Plus it throws your forward lines into a bit of a blender because now all of a sudden you need some of your other forwards double shifting. I don't hate the idea, but I also just don't think Tocchet philosophically has shown much of an inclination to go 11-7 in the regular season. Plus from what we heard at morning skate, it sounds like they're going with the exact same lineup anyway.
Yeah,
outside of Demko, of course.
Yeah, outside of Demko, unfortunately. No Pud Colson, which is something we talked about a lot yesterday. There was one here that I laughed at. Yeah, is it possible the Canucks are lying about it being a knee injury to throw other teams off? Is it possible that the Canucks are resting Demko for round 2?
Put that tinfoil hat back on, Quads, eh?
Oh boy. Okay, this is an update from Andrew Burnett on the Predators lineup. It's possible that they see Dante Fabbro or Cody Glass in game 2, but no decisions have been made yet. Obviously the big one is that we're going to be watching for Philip Forsberg and his availability. Again, if you're just joining us, did not skate at morning skate today, so we will see if he's there. That's confirmed, right, that he wasn't there at morning skate?
I don't know. I wasn't there, but I also saw somebody, like a Nashville fan, say that he's pretty consistently missed skates and practices for like 2 months now, and he's kept playing. So I'm not expecting him to miss game two.
See, this is the problem. Yeah, like, I don't know. Where did I see it? I swear I saw it somewhere that he wasn't there. Was he at Morning Skate, or am I getting this wrong?
I wasn't at Nashville Skate, so don't ask me.
Neither was I. That's the problem. Okay, I can't find anything on Twitter. I don't know where
either
I heard
way, like, I mean, he's... Like, put it this way. I'm not going in expecting that Forsberg's going to miss game two.
That's
I'll look it up real quick. I'll see if I'll see if I can do some digging. But
NHLPR tweeted out a thing being like, "Oh, Philip Forsberg did this. Can he help lead the like a game preview promo thing?" And they included Forsberg in it. So I don't know. We'll see. Vyasaran in the chat. They're resting him for round two. Don't listen.
Brunette said that any lineup changes will be right before game, so we won't find out until then.
Okay. All right. Okay, here it is. This is why. Okay, Dalvir Vander, regular listener to the show, Commander Vander, said PJ had it, but he deleted the tweet. So I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means, but we'll see. We'll see if Philip Forsberg's there. Undeniable that he is indeed playing through something. Okay. Anything else that we wanted to get to here? Let's do this one. We talked about this yesterday, Harm. This is from Jay Halls. Can you touch on Petey's wingers? Lafferty is not the guy for the job. Hogs will step it up after game one nerves.
Yeah, it's pretty simple to me. You have to go with McCabe in that role on the right wing, and then Hoglander. I do expect that he's going to be better now that he's got a playoff game under his belt. He's a guy that, when I look at game one, Pettersson just didn't have a lot of puck touches, and Hoglander's impact on the forecheck, being a disruptive presence, hopefully executing better plays with the puck, that's going to be part of the formula for Pettersson having more puck touches.
Do you agree with the decision to keep Puck Colson out of the lineup?
I would have put Puck Colson in, personally, just because I thought PDG was average. He took a penalty in the third period, needless, in terms of in the offensive zone. I think it was a trip. If Nashville scores on that power play, they would have had a two-goal advantage. And then all of a sudden, it looks like a lot more daunting of a comeback. It could just change the momentum of that game. So I didn't love PDG in that game. And the other perspective that I always think of is Podkolzin is probably your 13th forward at this point. There's a chance that if you go deep through round one or hopefully even beyond that, you're going to need to use your 13th forward at some point, whether it's because somebody's banged up or somebody on the fourth line underperforms. There's a decent chance that we'll see Podkolzin at some point. And if you're going to see him at some point, I don't want him going a really long time between his last game to when he's ultimately drawing into the playoffs, especially because, again, here's a guy that hasn't tasted playoff hockey yet. And, you know, if he all of a sudden needs to draw into game six or seven in an elimination game and he hasn't played in 2 weeks, he's got all these nerves, that's not a great position to put a young player in. So I thought it might make sense to just get him a playoff game under his belt early, especially since PDG, again, wasn't good in game one.
Yeah. Okay. People wondering where the Demko injury came from. People have their theories in the chat, but I think we'll close it out on this one for Mark Lynch. We have one of the best backups in the league and the best goalie coach. Teams must go through adversity. Let's rest Demko till round two. Let's go Nux in five. And I swear I didn't write that comment, Harm.
Well, one thing I will say to end it on a positive note is when you look at last year, and I've brought this up consistently on the show before, there were a lot of goalie mismatches where the team with the lesser goaltender won in round one, right? Vegas, Laurent Brossoit versus Connor Hellebuyck, because again, Aiden Hill didn't start in the playoffs till round two against Edmonton. Brossoit versus Hellebuyck, Vegas easily took down the Jets. Toronto versus Tampa, it was Samsonov versus Vasilevsky. Toronto obviously won there. New Jersey, Vitek Vanacek versus Igor Shesterkin. Devils won there. The Carolina Hurricanes, they've always had question marks in net. They had to go up and face Ilya Sorokin and the Islanders. They beat the Islanders. Even in the Florida-Boston series, right? Linus Allmark was the Vezina winner last year. Florida's game one starter was Alex Lyon because Bobrovsky had struggled down the stretch and Lyon was on a heater. Florida won that series. So absolutely, Demko's injury is a significant blow, but considering this team is up 1-0, I still think they have the chance to sort of be slight favorites. Like, I still consider them slight favorites in this series.
They are. They are. And they're slight favorites still tonight, according to our friends over at Bet365. Let's get to it. Let's get to our Bet365 bet of the day. Bet365 is the largest sports betting platform globally. Open an account with Bet365 today and use promo code VANBONUS to bet on a huge range of markets, whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Here is our Bet365 bet of the day. It's Quinn Hughes, 2+ points. At +290 odds, a $10 bet returns you $39 over on Bet365. All right, we'll close it out there for my co-host Harmon Dial and our technical producer Grady Sass. My name is Dave Grigelli. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Canucks Conversation.
Canucks Conversation with Harmon and Quads brought to you by the Toyota BZ4X. The BZ4X's fresh look is just an added bonus to its range since you can drive up to 406 kilometers on a single charge. That's enough to get you from Kitsilano to Whistler or Kamloops to Kelowna and back and still be home in time for the game. Now that's what we'd call electric. The best part, by choosing electric, you can get up to $11,000 in rebates and incentives. The BZ4X are in stock and selling quickly, so make sure to visit shoptoyota.ca or your local Pacific Toyota dealer to get your hands on one. Canucks Conversation is live Monday through Friday, every weekday at 2 p.m. over on the Canucks Army YouTube channel. Make sure you like, subscribe, and interact in the YouTube live chat every day with us, folks.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.